This is Jock Talk, an intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing. Presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who touched Derby, 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pravnik come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Barrage aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano.
A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now here's Mike Penna and Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, alongside retired jockey Christina McManigal in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, and welcoming everyone joining us throughout North America on Sirius 220, XM Channel 206, and of course, everyone tuning in on our website, on your smartphone, or on your tablet with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net. Each week, a portion of the proceeds from Jock Talk are given back to the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network. That's the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, probably better known as the PDJF. And we encourage everyone to do everything they can to support the PDJF and to help those riders who have given our sport so much. And because of a catastrophic injury that they've suffered in the saddle, they are no longer able to do so. And again, you can help them by going to PDJF.org. And Christina, you and I are both huge fans of doing everything we can to support PDJF. And I know Tito's Vodka, the sponsor of this program, does an awful lot to give back to those disabled riders. And people cannot do enough to help them.
Oh, Mike, it's absolutely true. They've given everything to the sport. And whatever we can do to help is just, you know, we're thrilled to help in any way we can.
And each week we have the opportunity to visit with so many of the riders that have made our sport a success. And tonight is certainly no exception. We're going to visit with another Hall of Famer on this Hall of Fame edition of Jock Talk as we welcome in the 57-year-old native of Erath, Louisiana, who epitomizes the true meaning of perseverance and determination and is a shining example of the strength and power of the human spirit. When he officially decided to hang it up in 1999 and hang up that tack, he retired with 4,294 winners. His runners earned more than $75 million in purses. He won riding titles at 10 different racetracks and was inducted into Racing's Hall of Fame in 2010. And it is truly a privilege to visit with the Raging Cajun himself, Randy Romero, here on Jock Talk tonight. Randy, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mike and Christine. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. How about you, my friend?
I'm doing well. In fact, I got inducted to another Hall of Fame. It's going to be the fourth one. It's in my hometown on the 25th at 4 o'clock.
Does that ever get old?
They're going to induct me here in my hometown.
Yeah, does that ever get old, getting in all these Hall of Fames, Randy?
No, this is the fourth one. I love it. It's pretty cool. I mean, and they got a sign in my hometown. I mean, I'm so blessed. I really am. People love me. So, and I love them too. So,
well, Erath is not a big town. It's a town of what? Just over 2,000 people?
Yeah, that's about right. You hit it right on the head. It ain't too big. But it's my hometown, and when I go down there, everybody knows me, you know. Everybody knows everybody, so it's pretty cool.
You're not the only big-name jockey to come out of Erath either. You might be the biggest name, but there's some other good ones, too. Tell me about that.
Well, Shane came out of Erath also, and the Burke boys that were in, the Burke, Kenny Burke and Chopper Burke, they were from Erath, and they have a whole bunch of them around Erath, like Borrell. He made the Hall of Fame. Ken DeZormo's in the Hall of Fame. Eddie Delahousie's in the Hall of Fame. They got some good riders around this area, which then 20 miles around all this here. And Ronald Ordway and Mark Guidry, and there have been pretty many good riders. I mean, you put all these riders together, there's over 15,000 winners for sure or more.
Randy, there must be something in the water. My gosh.
You know what it is? It's they had these match tracks a long time ago, and that's where we started. I was 9 years old, and I remember myself going, I weighed 75 pounds and horse going 30 miles an hour. And you put them in the gate, and I mean, you're a little bitty thing, and you can hardly pull them up. You're so small, so we get somebody at the end of the racetrack to catch me. But that's why we started, and we learned to fend the balance and learning how to switch your stick and learning how to pace your horses. And we had the edge because we were so young. It's just like these athletes. They start from when they're 5 or 6 years old. By the time they're 18 years old, they're so talented. And it's just like a jockey. It's just like a rider. So we have the edge. And the guys that are up in New York, and it stays warm here most of the time, and you can work out and exercise every day.
Talking with jockey Randy Romero on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Randy, Shane joined us on this very same program a few months back, and when Shane Sellers was here, he told us that growing up like that in those types of races as a young kid really made you tough, and that was one of the reasons for all the success of the Cajun-born riders. Do you agree?
I do agree, yeah. Because you fall, as you're that young, you fall a lot. You learn how to fall. You learn how to break things, too. But you heal up, and if you got the heart to get back on, you get back on and do it again, you know. So you got to be tough. Yeah, I agree.
You might have learned how to break things a little bit too good, because you were a guy that went through so much.
36 surgeries, and now I've got a tumor in my stomach and small intestines, and I got to get operated for that. They had went to get in there. They got in there to laser it, and they got right back out because the small intestines is paper thin. They were scared to cut it, and then all the blood to that. So they got the three surgeons together. And if I got to go over there tomorrow in New Orleans with Oshner's, and they're going to decide what they're going to do. But it's got to come out. And the only way I can get a liver and a kidney is that it's going to come out. So I'm just waiting to get this thing done and move, trying to get ready to. I want to go back to work. I really do. Not riding. But I would like to be another agent again, do some agent. So I got a lot of goals, but I got to get myself prepared and get myself stable, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned some of those health issues that you're going through right now. And if people aren't familiar with the Randy Romero story, let's just kind of fill them in here for a minute. Because like many jockeys, you had multiple injuries in the saddle when you were riding. And then in 2002, you were made aware that all of the years of trying to make weight and maintain that weight as a jockey had taken its toll on your kidneys and your liver. And then you had an operation, removed one of your kidneys. The other one has since been failing. You go through dialysis quite often, several times a week. And then, as you mentioned, just about a month ago, the doctors discovered a marble-sized tumor in your stomach as they were screening for a possible liver and kidney transplant. Thankfully, that tumor was benign. And as you just mentioned, Randy, working to get that one removed. But, you know, they say that a cat has 9 lives. How many lives does Randy Romero have?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you how it all started. When I got in, when I was in California and I flew there, Kentucky. I went a bunch of races there that day, and then I had to fly the next day to Hot Springs to ride a horse with Sugar McGee, a horse named Rack 'em Sack. It was 100,000. And I was kind of tired, so I got me a bottle of alcohol, and in the alcohol, they had oil in it, and I rubbed myself down, and I went in the sauna. And the sauna is the one that is, it was outdated. It was like 100 years old. The light bulbs, you can only stick your head out of it. Well, I started sweating. I hit a light bulb, and it blew up. and it blew 60% of my body was burnt. Second, third degree burns. They gave me 400% to live. The only reason I lived because I was strong and I was young. And they flew me to Galveston, Texas, where the burn center is over there. And they gave me some blood. I had to do a lot of skin grafts. And they gave me a blood. And in the blood in 1983, they never screened the blood. But it had hepatitis blood. So it stayed in my system for 20 years and ate my liver and my kidneys. And that's what got me in the position I'm in now, you know. So what you going to do? They saved my life, you know, but in another way, I'm kind of suffering from that. So what their plans are is to get this thing out of me and then get the kidney liver. And they got a new medicine that came out to kill the virus in the blood. So that's all the plans they got. I've been with the Oceanus for about 3 months now. I've been going back and forth to New Orleans. And I got a bunch of good surgeons from all over the world. So I'm excited and to get this done, and I'm waiting. Yeah.
Well, Randy, you survived that because you are young and strong and the most determined person I've ever met in my life, but you're also continue to be so determined and positive and just what, you know, everything you've been through, but I met you last year and just your positive energy just fills a room. And how do you, through all of that, Randy, how do you stay so upbeat?
I don't know. I have a lot of Christ in me and, I don't know. I was born that way. I've always been that way. I was always on top of things. When I was on the farm here, we had five brothers. We had 100 acres we farmed. We milked our own cows, and we had our own sheep and cattle, pigs, and all that, chickens. And I was always up early, 4:30, 5 o'clock, getting out and helping, getting things done, and go to school. And after that, I wanted to be a jockey. We used to go on trail rides, and my daddy was a policeman at the time. And I always would go on trail rides on Saturdays, and I would ride a Shetland pony, and I'd run some of the big horses. And I said, I want to be a jockey. And I stuck to it. At 7 years old, I stuck to it. So I kept on riding trail rides and stuff like that. And eventually, I told my dad I wanted to be a jockey. My dad had gotten an accident. And he was a trooper. State police. He was a lieutenant. And he almost got killed. So he had to retire. And he helped me get into the horse business. I was an entrepreneur, but he was the one that helped me get to the fight. Stables. It was a guy named Sylvester Nelson that was around my house that we went over there. And he showed me a lot of things, and I learned to balance and learn how to handle a horse and learn how to take my cross is how to handle your reins and where you put your stirrups at and your feet and put it in the right position. So I went and I learned and was going back and forth for a while, and then I was making a dollar and exercising horses for a dollar. And I thought it was a lot of money before. And I got a dollar a horse, you know. And by the time I was 18, I had $30,000 saved. So, Nick, anyway, short, I started I got away from on the farm, working on the farm, and started doing the racing. And my mama would take me at night at Evangeline, and I couldn't drive because I was 16. They wouldn't let me drive because it was day and night. I'd go, she'd just stay with me, take me to the races at night. I said, get home sometimes at 2 o'clock, you know, and go to school. And, I went to the principal's office a lot. I used to sleep in the couch. But the principal would go where he was working at the mutuals.
You should understand.
they sent me to the office, and he put me in the corner and told me to go to sleep. But they were calling me all over the country, in New York, California, to go ride. And I was young, you know, and my dad didn't let me go. He wanted me to finish school, so I did finish the school. Then after that, I left, and I stayed in Louisiana for a little while. Then I went to Kentucky. A guy named Bud Amy took me, one of the famous agents that ever lived. And he had Eddie Delahousie also. But I was living right here in Louisiana. I had every racetrack about six, seven times, maybe more. But then Bud Amy saw me, and he said, "Man, I like to take the book, because you got it. I'll go to New Orleans." So I made Lee and Rodden right away there, and he bought me one. So I want to bring you to Kentucky. You're that good of a rider. So I went with him, and I made Lee and Rodden. Broke all the records at one time. I still got one. I went 6-1 day. And but I had one that I went 17 out of 32. I went 32 races in 17 days. And after Keenan, I went to Chicago and broke all the records there. And it was Racy Beal's record and Eddie Delahousie's record. And then I went to California, and I was leading around the country then. And I slowed down so much because it's a lot tougher over there. So I came back home, and that's when I went to ride a horse in at Delta Downs, and I broke my femur. But I had a lot of accidents, you know, broke my femur. And after I got burned, I got back to be leading rider. I was leading rider about 50 winners, and that's when I broke my femur. And it slowed me down again, but it didn't stop me. I got back up again, and between all them accidents, I've had a broken ankle, a broken shoulder. That's when I was younger. And when I fell the first time, you can read in the book, I punched my spleen and liver and kidney. And my mama didn't want me to ride no more. I was 16 years old. I said, "No, mama, that's what I want to do. It's my profession." She said, "Okay." She was on the side of my bed. I'll never forget it. I said, "No, mom, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do." So I got healed up and got back going again. And it was done really, really well. Eventually that I was competing at a high level, and the guys that I was competing with couldn't teach me nothing. So I said, "I want to go where I can learn something and be a better rider." So I left and I wanted to go to New York. So I called the guy, Bud Amy, told me if I ever go to New York, call a guy named Lenny Goodman. He had Steve Carlton. So I called him up, and he said, "I know who you are." I says, "I'd like to go to New York for the winter and try to get the I had been in some races. I went ride some big races already, just a couple, and come back home. And they had seen me, and he said, "I'll take you. But we're going to not go to New York. We're going to go to Florida in the winter, where it's too really tough. All the good horses go to Florida, and all the good riders get out of the wintertime." And I made leading rider. I made leading rider.
Wow.
There, the first time in Florida. And then after that, we go to New York, and I made leading rider in New York again. And I did that a couple times. I was leading rider twice at Belmont and then twice at Florida, twice at Gulfstream, once at Hialeah. And it was 17 times of 11 tracks. That's what it was, I think.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible.
I was blessed. I mean, I just had a lot of go and fight and determination. And I had my wife on my side. She was sticking with me, you know, at the time. And we raised one son. He's 34 years old now. He's too big to ride. He's six foot and weighs about 230.
Where did he get that from?
I don't know, man. My brothers are pretty big people, but on the side of my wife's family, they're pretty big also. They're 6 foot, all of them, most of them.
Well, you know, it's funny, Randy, when you ask a lot of people the best rider that they've ever seen, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to say Randy Romero. So let me ask you, who does Randy Romero think is the best jockey that you've ever seen?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there's such a best. On every given day, somebody can beat you. I think you can be one of the best. As far as being the best, I can't. Because there's three riders that I think they were tops. Angel Cordero, Jerry Bailey, you know?
Yep.
And myself.
What is it that makes a rider so good at that top level and sets them apart from every other rider?
Well, at the time they're riding these good horses, they got experience of riding a good horse. But if you get on a cheap horse and then go into the big leagues, you don't ride a good race. You got to be at a high level. You can't be riding these cheap horses because they can make you ride bad. You're at the top level, you got to ride top level horses. And that way, you don't make no mistakes. You try not to make no mistakes. What makes a good rider is the one that makes it. I asked Shoemaker that before he died. I mean, when I was in California, I said, Shoe, what makes a good rider? He says, one that makes the least mistakes, Randy. We came tight with them. I want to be tight with everybody and learn because I want to be good. I wanted to be the best I can be. And I wanted to compete with those guys. So I was in California and I asked him, he says, the one that makes the least mistakes and not get in trouble, you're a pilot up there. You, the only thing you do is keep them out of trouble. You know? Don't get him in trouble, and you're gonna be very successful. And I kept that in my mind. I never forgot that. And it's helped me. Every horse I rode and in big races that I did, I remembered what Shoemaker told me. And you know what? I never got many mistakes. I never made many mistakes. Very, very, very little. I was so blessed to learn that from Shoemaker, him telling me that. At the time, he was the king, you know, and he was another top rider.
Yeah.
Lafitte Pincai, that's another. I can separate all these top riders. Angel Cordero, I mean, Vicente Vasquez, Jorge Velasquez. I mean, how can I say one is the best? It's so hard. I mean, they all win 5, 6, 7... 1,000 races. Eddie Delahoussaye. I mean, he's one of the best riders, back company behind riders that ever lived. Everybody has a little thing that makes them good. Me, I was fearless, and I was I would take chances that other riders would not take to try to get through the fence or try to get in a hole. That was my forte, and stay out of trouble, you know, not getting stopped, trying to make if you see a place where you can get your horse in there to save some ground, to make you a better, save ground, it's a game of inches, so you save the ground where you ain't got to go around a bunch of horses. That's the most important thing, you know, so that was a big help for me, and all the riders that it's just so hard to name one rider, and it's just so many good riders that come through and pass through the Kentucky Derby in the jocks room. Gary Stevens is another one. He was telling me, I called him after the Derby, and we all stayed in touch. And he was telling this little boy that just got broke his, he was an apprentice rider. I can't remember his name. He just got out of an apprentice, and he was there. And Gary Stevens says, you know how many great riders that come out of this jocks room? This is an opportunity of a lifetime for you. And you're here to see a horse that just won the Triple Crown. He was telling this little kid that. He told me this. And this little kid's going to be a star. And he was telling me that. And that's God's truth, too. Man. I mean, so many jockeys that come out of Churchill Downs, it's unbelievable that win all these big races, you know. They have to go there before they go anywhere else, you know.
Yeah.
Then you go to New York, you make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. It's just like the song, you know. So, I don't know. I was so blessed to come back out of all these accidents. And I've got a couple more surgeries and hope to go back to work and do something. No, nothing too hard, just to get out and be with the people. And I'm a people person, and people love me. I'm so blessed. I have so many. They put me on Facebook, and they wanted to send me money. I said, I don't need no money. So I said, just send me some prayers. I have 300 cards I got to read. I done read about 50 of them.
Wow.
Everybody's sending me cards and getting well and. You know what I'm going through right now. So I got a lot of good fans out there, and I appreciate all of them. I know a lot of them are listening, and I want to thank you, all of you guys, for supporting and the prayers y'all have sent me. I am so blessed. I am so blessed.
Talking with jockey Randy Romero here on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, one good way to support Randy, send him a card. Let him know you're thinking about him. Keep him in your prayers. And, of course, we encourage you, as we always do on this program, to support the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. You can go to pdjf.org to learn more about that organization and to support them. It is the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network. Randy, stay with us. We're going to step away for a short commercial break. We'll come back with more, and we'll look at some of the top moments in your career, including horses like Personal Ensign and even Gopher Juan. We'll look back on that moment as well. Randy Romero with us on Jock Talk. Stay with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, fifth generation ink, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
Since 2006, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund has provided critical financial assistance to some 60 riders who have sustained catastrophic on-track injuries. The lives of these former athletes who have given so much to the sport of horse racing have been changed forever. I'm Mike Penna, president of the Horse Racing Radio Network and proud supporter of the PDJF, and I ask you to join me in supporting this outstanding organization right now by texting the word JOCKEY to 50555. You'll be credited with a $10 donation that can literally change the lives of those disabled riders who need it so much. It's quick, it's easy, and it's only $10. Who would think a simple $5 Exacta box would mean so much to so many? So let's all help make a huge difference in the lives of those riders who have given us so many great memories. Text the word JOCKEY to 50555 today and visit pdjf.org to learn more. Message and data rates may apply. Terms mgive.org/chi.
Trainer Talk, presented by Phasing Tipton.
And we're going to kick things off with trainer Graham Motion, Hall of Fame trainer Phil Mott here on Trainer Talk. Roger Atfield is going to be with us for the next half an hour. Carl Nasker, an honor to have him on the show tonight. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahey, nice enough to spend some time with us. I want to welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 220 and XM 206. And always streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is CJ Johnson with your JockeyTalk360.com weekly update. First, let's head up to the Jersey Shore, where Paco Lopez had 4 wins on Sunday alone and finished the week winning 37% of his mounts. On 27 mounts, he won 10, got second twice, and third 3 times. Next, let's go to Mountaineer, where Deshaun Parker continued his hot streak. He won both mounts he had on Sunday, finished in the money 88% of the time. Out of 16 mounts, he had 5 wins, 5 seconds, and 4 thirds. Now let's go to the Midwest, where Ramon Vasquez had a great week at Prairie Meadows. He led the nation in wins with 13. He won 3 on Sunday alone, came in the money 70% of the time. He won 13 races out of 30 mounts, got second 3 times, and third 5 times. Now let's go down south to Evangeline Downs, where Diego Sainz had a great week. He won 4 mounts on Saturday alone, and 3 of those 4 were stakes races. Came in the money 56% of the time. Out of 25 mounts, he won 9, got second twice, and third 3 times. Now let's move to Oklahoma, where Travis Cunningham had a great week at Fair Meadows. He won 4 out of 5 mounts on Sunday, won 39% total of his mounts, and came in the money on 56% of them. Finally, let's head to the West Coast, where Mario Gutierrez had a great week at Oak Tree and also at Hastings up in Canada. At Hastings, he won the Lieutenant Governor's Handicap, and at Oak Tree Pleasanton, he won the Oak Tree Sprint Stakes. For the week, he won 38% of his mounts and came in the money an amazing 85% of the time. Out of 13 mounts, he won 5 of them, came in second 4, came in third twice. This has been CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. For more information, check us out at JockeyTalk360.com or follow us on Twitter at Jockey Talk.
You're listening to Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
Stevens going to a vigorous left-handed whip, holding on by 2. Goodbye, Halo is charging hard. Here comes Personal Ensign, unleashing a furious run on the outside, but it is still winning colors. Goodbye, Halo. Personal Ensign, a 16th of a mile from the wire. Winning colors is there. Personal Ensign, a dramatic finish, and here is the wire, and it is Personal Ensign there with winning colors in a photo. Very close. At the 16th pole, it looked like Personal Ensign was facing her first defeat. But in those final 110 courageous yards, she certainly proved herself a champion this afternoon.
Welcome back to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Christina McManigal in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, visiting with Hall of Fame jockey Randy Romero on yet another Hall of Fame edition of the program. We've been so fortunate over the past several months on this show to visit with so many of the top riders in our game, both past and present, and tonight no exception. If you missed any portion of this show, you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast of this show and all of our Jock Talk shows. They're all there for you at horseracingradio.net. As I mentioned, Randy Romero, if you couldn't tell by listening to the first half of the program, is somebody who has undergone so much in his personal life and in his riding career. And Randy, as we were in that commercial break there, you were kind of filling us in on the time that you rode in the Kentucky Derby, your last Kentucky Derby, with a broken arm and everything you went through after that. And that story in itself is incredible, my friend.
Yeah. What had happened is the pins in there were hurting me. So they took them out of there. And the doctor, I went to the doctor, the Mets doctor in New York, and he said he was going to put it in the cast. He left it in the cast for 2 months and took it out of the cast, and he gave me an okay. So I give the okay. I had to get a slip, and I gave it to the stewards. And I went back to riding, and I went 100,000 on horse named Salt Lake. And I broke his maiden in the Comeca winner, the Tremont, with him at Belmont. Then the next day, I got to go to a ride, the Kentucky Derby. But my arm was killing me. It was hurting me so bad. I could hear it cracking all the time. So I went back to the doctor, and I said, "Doctor, there's something wrong with my arm." And I was taking a lot of inflammatory medicine, a lot of pain pills. And that's going to hurt my liver and kidneys also. It's a combination. So he said, "No, you got to keep on exercising, keep on working." And so they had me in sciatic New York working with these amputees, and it made me feel I didn't feel so bad, you know, because I seen this guy with no legs, no arms, and was competing for the Olympics. So I went ahead. I rode the Derby, and after the Derby, my arm was. Oh, I was in tears. So we're in the airport, and there's Pink Eye and myself, and Georgie, and he's got, and we're all going to different places. They got to go to California. McCarran was there, and he's got, and I got to go to New York. Me and Georgie and Cinto and Cordero, and I was crying. I was really crying, and. Lafitte Gus said, "What's the matter, Randy?" I said, and this is God's truth, too. Yeah, I said, "Man, my arm is broken." So he said, "Take off your jacket." And he looks at the arm and says, "My God." So he says, "Go back to New York. Get your stuff together. And come, and I'm going to get you a doctor, good doctor for elbows in California." So I had no other choice. I thought my career was over. And I got my wife was friends with Wayne Lucas, his wife, Jeff Lucas, his wife. And I'm sorry. It's Jeff Lucas, his son.
Yeah.
And I lived there, and I went to surgeries, did the surgeries, and the doctor said, "You didn't ride that race." Oh, I said, "Yes, I did." He says, "Man, Randy, you know what was going on?" He says, "Instead of bending at the joint, you're bending at the break. And you wore like 3 inches of bone out." So they took 3 inches of bone out my hip and put into my arm. And the picture of the elbow is in my book. You can look at it. It got screws and plates and everything else. He said, "Randy," the doctor said, "I don't see how I saved your arm. I thought I was going to have to cut it off." I said, "You're kidding me." He says, "Yeah, it was all tangled up." He says, "This is impossible. What you went through is one in a million." Wow. I was doing a lot of acupuncture, and I was doing everything I could to ride. And I should have stopped, but I didn't want to stop. I was wanting to ride those good horses, you know. And so that wow. was the arm, and I got it. He says, I think you're going to be all right, but I can't promise you ever going to ride again." And I knew like a month later I was going to ride again because I could bend my arm and get it strong again.
Yeah, no stopping Randy Romero at any point.
I went to a lot of therapy. On all my accidents, I did therapy. And that's the most important thing, you know. If you do your therapy and you stay with your therapy, you always can come back good. So that's what made me, I didn't have no problems. And I just have a little arthritis in my back right now, but it's not severe, so... I got operated for one of my, I had a sciatic nerve that was bothering me, just lately. But other than that, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed to be here and to walk around, you know.
Talking with jockey Randy Romero on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Randy, during the break, we played the clip of Personal Ensign winning the 88 Breeders' Cup Distaff. Tell us about that experience. You actually had 3 Breeders' Cup victories. That was one of them. Tell us the story around that horse, trained by Shug McGahee. Tell us the story about how you got that mount.
I was in Kentucky and I was coming to New York and I heard Shug was coming also. And I was riding, I got burnt on Shug's horse, Rackhamsack. I was riding for Shug in the Midwest. And I asked Shug if he's going to New York. He says, yeah. I said, I'm going too. I said, if you can help me out, I appreciate it. He says, I'll do what I can, Randy. I can't promise you nothing, but I'll do what I can. But I started winning right away. He had to ride me. I said, come on, Shug. I'm winning a bunch of races. You got to ride me. So he got to ride me, and I got to winning for him. And I went with Polish Navy. He was the first one. And then I went to Widener, and I went all kind of big races. Then Personal Instant came up and went with her. And oh, my God. I said, this is the fastest horse I ever rode in my life. She's a freak. And we win, and I broke Winning Colors maiden in Saratoga too. I rode her also, So I had the opportunity to ride both horses. And at the time, they were the best two horses in the country, best two fillies in the country. Say, wow, what kind of position I'm in? I'm so blessed. So anyway, I stayed with Personal Instant, and Winning Colors went to California, and she won the Santa Anita Derby. And then Personal Instant she broke her maiden, come back and win the Collin, and she broke her back leg. Not many people know that, but they got a book about her that she broke her back leg, and they put a lot of screws and plates in there, and she was out for a whole year. She comes back, and the first time I didn't ride her, Jerry Bailey rode her because I committed to go to Chicago to ride the Arlington Million, and the horse that I was riding was favored, and Shug's going to run in just a $40,000 race. He said, Randy, just go ahead and go, and when you come back, you can ride that filly. I said, man, I don't want to do that. He says, go, man, go make that money. Your horse is favorite. He's got a chance. So when I flew to Arlington Park to ride that horse, Dance of Life, in a Million, he colicked and they had to scratch him. So I called Sugar in Chicago. I said, I can make it back in New York. Randy, don't get nervous. You're going to ride the filly back. I don't want to lose her, man. So he kept his word. She won. And the next time she ran, I rode her, and she won a stake. She just kept on winning everything. She never got beat.
Wow. Well, fast forward to that Breeders' Cup distaff, Randy, because, you know, when you go there, she's undefeated. She's looking to retire undefeated. You know it's her final start. Put us in the saddle with you. What was going through your mind as you're walking toward the gate?
Oh, my God. This is what... I didn't want to get her beat. And I knew this is history, you know? I knew all this. And when... Tom Durkins announces, we'll see if Personal Instant goes to be the only horse undefeated in 100 years. I wanted to go underneath the gate. I know everybody's looking at me. I know all the people on TV and all the people that stand. There's 100,000 people there. Oh, my God. It kind of gave me a wake-up call, you know, which was the right, it was good, it was good, it was good. I got my shit together here. So we break the gate, and Cento Vasquez, he's riding a filly, that gets me, carries me out in the first turn. And I was so damn mad, I was really mad at him. But he was riding his race, you know, so I got her back in position, and it was muddy that day. And God Almighty, she was not handling the racetrack. I could not get her to level off. And I tried to do everything I could, and I just finally just said, I stopped trying to maneuver and then leave her alone. And hell, she was backing up more, even more. So I went back to work on her. And I hit her left. It was things that you don't do. I did. I don't know why I did it. I think it's an act of God, be honest with you. I hit a left hand at the 3/8 pole. That's way too early to do that. Well, what I did was I made her left handed. She stuck. She went about 3 feet, no more than that, about 4 feet out off where she was running, and she went outward. You understand?
Yeah.
From the inside, she went to the outside. Why I hit her left hand, and then she went out. And that was the best thing I ever did. It was a genius call. If it wouldn't have worked, it would have been a dumb call. But it was a genius call. And she went to the outside, and then this, she took off running again. She had some good footing. And I run by Halo. And then Personal Instant seen Winning Colors on the fence. And Personal Instant never wanted to get beat. I'm going to tell you, she had the drive. And she saw that mare, and she went to run. She is like another gear she had. She didn't want to get beat. She knew when she won. She knew. She sure did. And the final was the last couple of jumps. I was not hitting her anymore because she was giving me her best. Why should I be hitting on her? So I just let her run her own race. And like I told her, when I hit the, this is the God's truth. When I hit the top of the after the race, we raise up. I said, this is an act of God, to be honest with you. I really believe that. Then Gary Steven asked me, what you think, Grant? I said, I got you. He said, I don't think so. I say, I got you. So, and they pulled up and they asked me what I thought. I said, I think I beat him. I really did. And I run down the last part, and they said, yes, you did. You win it. I said, I'm glad it's over, man. I said, I had so much stress and pressure to ride this filly and to keep undefeated. You know, she was something special in the 80s, I swear. And then right after her, I breezed a mare named Go For One for a guy named Billy Badgett. And she worked awesomely, like 3/4 and 11 and change. And I says, Billy, this filly stays like this and she don't get hurt. She was a big, robust filly, beautiful, beautiful. She looked like a stud. She was so beautiful. I said, she can win the Breeders' Cup. Hmm. I said, I believe that much in her. And she, her first race, she went by 18 lengths. Then she come back and I think she ran another race. She was second. Then she come back. It was too short. And I come back and I win the Breeders'. Stella Madrid was a beater. And I come back and I beat the hell out of Stella Madrid in the Breeders' Cup in Florida. And that was just then we win a bunch of the Mother Goose and all of, oh my gosh, and she went in track record time. Go For One did. I mean, she was something else, and I never had to hit her. I mean, never whipped her. I didn't have to. She was freaky, and that was we come to the Breeders' Cup. We win all them big races. I went to one of my 7, 8 grade ones with her. Then we come to the Breeders' Cup and Bayakoa and Go For One. Bayakoa is 6 years old. She had won the Breeders' Cup twice, I think, or once. And come back. I think she had won it twice, and it's going to be our third time in it. And now, my mare's 3 years old, and she's 6. She's got 2 years on me. And that makes a little difference. Don't think it don't. And it did. And so I drew the inside post, and I asked Billy. I said, Billy, what you think? He said, Randy, I can't tell you how to ride. Do what you got to do. So I was on the inside post, and they figured that I was going to chase Bayakoa. I had a lot of speed. But my mare had some speed, too, and I didn't want his mare to carry me all over the racetrack. And because if he'd have broke in front of me, that's what he was going to do. It was going to make me lose ground, and I wasn't going to let that happen. I was on the rail. I come on the inside post. So I warmed up my mare really well, and my mare broke good. So I put her right on the lead and just slowed her down as much as I could. And Bayako was behind on my tail at the beginning, or a little more back than about 11.5 behind. Then she moved up around the half mile pole and moved right on my shoulder. And well, we go around, we're running like this for a while. So we're coming around and the 5-16 pole, he's smooching to by a car and whipping, hitting her with his stick on the shoulder. And I had moved on my mare. I said, man, I really got him. I haven't turned go for one loose yet, and he's riding his horse. I says, I got him. I'm gonna beat him. So we straighten up, and I wanted to carry him out a little bit, carry him out where he can lose some ground. He was getting close, so I put my stick in my left hand, and I hit it 2-3 times left hand, and that's when she broke her leg. And I was in front at the time, and I knew I was going to beat him. I really believed that in my heart. And then I fell, and I broke 8 ribs in the shoulder. But I did get up to see where she was at, and I could see where her leg was flying all over the place. And I said, oh, my God, what a total mess, bloody mess. So... They didn't want. I had the 5 million-dollar race, and they didn't want me to ride, but I wanted to ride. So I had some pain pills, pain medicine. I kept pain medicine on me all the time because I was hurt a lot. So I took 2 of them, and I thought I was okay, you know. And mentally, I was just psyched. I was so my adrenaline was flowing so much. And I rode his vest and I should have never did that. That was bad on my part because I really couldn't do nothing. I was hurt too bad.
Yeah, yeah, talking with jockey Randy Romero on Jock Talk.
That was a mistake that I made. And I think Umbrella won the race that year. But Go For One was so damn freaky. Don't tell me how good she could have been. She lost the Breeders, that she lost the Oaks, and she should have never lost the Oaks. I think he rushed her back too much from Keeneland. He ran like twice at Keeneland, and she was a big mare. She couldn't take all that, you know. He rushed her into all them races. I didn't think he should have run her one of the times and gave her a break. She should have won the Oaks. Stella Madrid won the race. Nah, I really don't think she should have lost that day, but I think that he just did too much with her, raced
him
too much.
Yeah, Randy, you know better than anybody the highs and the lows of this game. I mean, you just documented one of the highest points in the history of the sport with Personal Ensign and one of the lowest points in the history of the sport with Go For Wand, and both of them coming, of course, in the Breeders' Cup. But, you know, we started this program tonight by talking about your story with your health issues and everything you've had to overcome and what you're doing now, waiting for that kidney transplant or liver transplant and just hoping to get that. Talk about, for people that are out there struggling right now with this same type of situation, talk about what it's like to be sitting on a transplant list hoping every day that your wish is granted.
Oh, it's very pickle, I tell you. I pray a lot. I pray that, I really do. And there's nothing else. And the doctors had given me 6 to 8 months to live with the liver I got when I went 3 months ago. So, because my liver has cirrhosis so bad, there's only like 5% left that's left to live off of. And if I don't get a liver really quick, it's going to kill me. So I think about it every day. So I started still my diet and try to do some exercise. And if it's meant for me to be here, I'm going to. If God wants to take me, he's going to just take me. I'm waiting and I'm praying and just hope it works out, you know.
Jockey Randy Romero on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Randy, I can only imagine how difficult that is. And you talked earlier about staying positive. What's the key to staying positive through the whole process?
Well, what makes me so positive, because I got grandkids, and they keep me happy, keep me alive. And my son, you know, I'll visit them. My mom's... my dad died about 3 months ago. I'm living with my mother now. And they stopped me from driving because I lost my acre 11 a little bit. My balance is not as good as it used to be. I guess it's from the kidneys, you know. But so my mom takes me everywhere I need to be. Staying positive is just... I mean, it's kind of hard, but I don't even think about it. Believe me, I never think about it. So I just can go day by day just like it's a normal day. I don't even think about it. In my stomach, in my I don't hurt, and I'm in good shape. I weigh 138 pounds. I'm strong. I'm fit. So I don't even think about it. I'm doing a lot of walking. I can't run too much because the bones are broken, but I do a lot of walking and try to eat the right foods. They got special diet, and which is, you know, I just stay positive because I've got something to live for. I got my grandkids that I like to see a little longer, and I just don't think about it and just move on. You know, that's the best I can do.
Yeah. Well, Randy, we only have about 2 minutes here left, but time and time again, you've proved the doctors wrong. You've just persevered through so much. And Randy, I'll never forget the first time I heard your story in full. I was watching the HRTV special, and I was injured with a broken neck at the time. And it just made me look at my life and how grateful I am and how I really shouldn't be complaining at all. And, you know, everything you've been through and just what an incredible person you are.
Well, I got one thing to say. We should never complain. We look up behind over our shoulder, behind us. There's always one worse than we are. That's all I have to say. So we should never complain because there's always one person worse than we are.
Yeah, amen. Randy Romero here on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's. And Randy, really can't thank you enough for taking the time and for telling your very inspirational story. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you are a shining example of what the human spirit is all about. And we're going to encourage everybody to continue to keep Randy Romero in their prayers and do everything they can to support you in that fashion. And we will certainly do the same for you here, my friend, and really do appreciate it and want to wish you all the best moving forward here. And again, you're in our thoughts and you're in our prayers every single day.
Mike, Christine, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Randy Romero. Thanks, Randy. Randy, again, somebody who has just overcome so much. And that story tonight should serve as an inspiration to anybody. And right at the end, you know, it kind of gets you. You heard him talk about staying positive because he has something to live for. He has the grandkids, and, you know, and we all do. And, you know, when you're sitting there on that transplant list, I can't even fathom what that's like. But as he said, he tries not to think about it, and he just continues on and perseveres. And your point about the broken neck is very well taken, too.
It's just you look at him and you see this person of what he's gone through, and he's such a positive person. As I said, I met him for the first time last year and just made my night talking to Randy Romero, the person he is. He's such a great person.
Yeah, and we hope that everybody will take that and you know, take a look in the mirror and say, hey, I had to wait 10 minutes in traffic to get to the studio
exactly.
Today. Come on, really? And we're complaining about that. But really great stuff from Randy Romero and the stories he told about Personal Ensign and Go for Wand, just to take you back to those moments. The highs, the lows of what our sport is all about and what riding races is all about was truly incredible.
Incredible. Incredible.
And we'll encourage you again, go to pdjf.org to support the PDJF. And don't forget to support our friends at Tito's Handmade Vodka, who help make this show possible each and every week. Visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for a podcast of this program and all of our Jock Talk shows. It's all there, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. For our guest, Randy Romero, for our producer, Lee Delapina, for Christina McManigal, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's.